1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And so today, you're going to hear from some of our family, our Rockside family, the good things that God is doing in their life, the things that God is challenging in them, the answers to prayer that God has done in their life. Amen? And the reason why we share testimony is because Scripture talks about they overcame by the power of their testimony. Testimony brings encouragement. It builds faith. It shares with everybody that's listening that, oh, wow, if God can do it for them, guess what? God can do it for me too. And so I want to challenge you today as you're listening. I know everybody here is going through their own journey, their own things. And listen, God's the same God as he was in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and today. Amen? So he'll do it for you too if you believe and you trust and you rest in the fact that he's in control and we're not. Amen? All right, so I'd like to call up. First up is Donna Chuley. She's currently serving as a board member here at Rockside. So give a hand clap to our friend, Donna. Tell us about what God's been doing.
For those who don't know me, I'm Donna Chuley. And what you probably don't know, because I hide it very well, is I have suffered from daily chronic migraine since I've been in junior high, which is over 50 years. Yikes. I have tried everything. In the old days, they didn't have anything, so you just suffered through it. I've been tested for MRIs, for TMJ, for the jaw. I've done Botox. I've done it all. Different medical cocktails. Nothing has helped other than they did come up in the last few years with a migraine pill, which does help, as well as Excedrin helps me to deal daily with my headaches. But I went to my headache doctor in April, and she's like, you cannot keep taking Excedrin every single day. It's just not good. Well, thankfully, God still works in good ways with wisdom to researchers, to doctors, and they have come up with a new, for me, it's a miracle drug. It's a migraine infusion therapy, which is an intravenous therapy that I get once every 3 months, and it is supposed to alleviate your headaches. So my first IV was given in April. My next one is scheduled for July. So in the 2.5 months that I have been taking my first dose, my migraines have gone away 50% or more. So I just want to give all the credit to the Lord that he still cares. He doesn't want you to suffer like this, and he gives the wisdom that's needed for research and doctors. And I'm just so thankful. I'm waking up some days going, oh my gosh, I don't have a headache today. It's like a miracle. So that's my testimony, and I hope you take, if you're suffering from something, I hope that that gives you encouragement that, you know, the Lord is working.
Yes.
So thank you.
No, that's so good. Thank you so much. And again, with that, right, we pray and ask God to heal. God heals in multiple ways, right? He has given us doctors. He's given us wisdom, researchers, like she said. So sometimes he chooses to automatically heal someone, boom, right there. And then other times he'll use medicine and other therapies and ways to heal. Amen. So to God be the glory. And that's so huge. What a change in your life to not have those headaches. And we're believing God's going to completely, those will be gone, not even just 50%, but 100% healing for you. Can we give the Lord a hand clap again for that? All right. Next up is our friend Felicia. All right. Come on up. If you guys can give a hand for our friend Felicia Harris. She's going to tell of some answered prayer that God's been rocking in her world. This is great.
Well, hello, everybody. It's nice to see you. The last time I was up here, I was talking about my adoption and how amazing that was. But the next step is the next chapter in our life, which was for us to get to be a first-time home buyer. And I had been waiting patiently. Today is really about just being patient and waiting on the Lord. And things will work out the way they're supposed to when you are just faithful and to what his will is, and then you're not on your own will, but you wait patiently for him. You know, I was like, oh, well, after I adopt, we're going to then look for buying a house. But I'm not in a rush. We're going to do that. Well, the Lord put people in place for me. You know, I met back in the fall the realtor who was actually part of the PTA with me. And I was like, oh, I'll talk to you in the spring, you know, after my adoption. And then, you know, I was like, oh, it's almost time to adopt these kids. I'm like, I need a babysitter. You know, I need to find a babysitter. And I'm interviewing this babysitter. And she told me that she's new into real estate. And I'm like, well, I don't know where to start. I'm like, this is overwhelming. I don't know what to do. And she introduced me to my mortgage broker. So I call, she's like, oh, she's a mom and stuff. You'll love her, whatever. I call her. Melanie is amazing. Melanie is like Johnny on the spot, almost a stalker. It's great. I mean, if you want a mortgage person who is like on it and every day like, hey, girl, and like, hey, you know, but I'm sleeping, you know. So I got in touch with her, and then, you know, she introduced me to the process. And I just want to say, like, everything has been going so smoothly. Like people say, it's so stressful looking for a house. I don't know what they're talking about. My real estate agent has found, I say, oh, I like that house. She says, okay, we go and we look at the house. We end up looking at about 20-something houses. And then the day comes when I walk into the house that makes my heart flutter. Makes me feel like this is the home. You know, this, I can see, envision my family being in here. It is checking off the boxes. It is, after all these homes that I looked at, this is the one. And so we go, we look at some more homes, and then it's still on my mind. And so she says, let's call the real estate agent and let's see see what's going on. You know, we call and they say, the house had an open house on Friday. We went to visit on a Sunday. They were like, there are no offers on this home. And I'm looking like, there's nothing wrong with this house. It's pretty. Like, what do you mean? Why is there no offers on it? And I'm like, I'm contemplating it. I'm stressing because I'm like, oh, my gosh, I think I'm going to put an offer on this house. This is a big deal. And there is no offer. I mean, there's nothing. I go and I put my offer. I write a letter to the family. They reply back with a counter is what I wanted. They say, and they're like, the house is yours. Okay. And then the process keeps going with Melanie, of course, Melanie. And it is just smooth. And it is just paperwork is flowing. And appraisal is happening. And home inspection is happening. And nothing's wrong. Everything's fine. House is good. House is move-in ready. Don't need to paint. Don't need to take up carpet. Don't need to do anything. In your budget, you can do this. You know, it's so stressful. And I'm filled with, you know, you feel with anxiety, like, oh my gosh, I'm making this big decision. I'm doing this big thing for my family. You know, the best part was when I took the kids to go see the house. I was like, let's just see where we're going to be moving to. And my sweet boy looks at the backyard and he runs around and he's like, yay, you know. And then we walk into the house and I show Matt his bedroom. I say this, I'm like, this is your room. And the look on his face of saying, my room. This is why I do what I do, for those babies, for those children, you know. And then the Lord just continues to keep blessing this whole process, because then we meet the notary. She comes to my house and she tells me that she actually met. She was also the notary for the seller, Linda. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. And she's like, she's a nice woman and she's a Christian. And she's like, I'm a Christian too. And I'm like, well, I'm a Christian too. I love Jesus too. You know, I'm excited. And she's like, you'll love her. And I'm like, oh, that's going to be great. And then the next day, here Friday comes, and it's time for me to get my keys. And I get my keys on Friday, and I walk into this home, and this beautiful Linda has written me a letter about her, like how much the home meant to her and how she didn't want to leave. And that she is so excited that a new family gets to come in this home and live and make new memories. And of course, the tears. And I am a homeowner now. I bought a house. I bought a house. And I just want to say, like, I was patient and I was faithful. And I waited on the Lord. And everything in my process went by so smoothly because I was patient and waited for him to make it instead of doing it my way, which if you do it your way, it doesn't go the way you want it. And so I just want to say thank you guys for your prayers, and thank you for my own prayers, and just I'm just overwhelmed with excitement of what this journey is going to look like next. So thank you.
That's so good. Thank you, Felicia. Thank you, Felicia. Yeah, it's so important. God cares about the details of our lives. And when we bring him those things, you know, and my challenge to her was in one of our times together was, you know, pray and ask the Lord, what do you need? What do you want in that house? And not out of like, hey, God, give me all the things I want, but God cares about the things that are important to you. And so when you pray, pray specifically. All right, God's not a genie out there, but he wants to give us the desires of our hearts because he's a father and he loves us. And so it's just so beautiful to hear the answer to prayer of how God has walked with you, Felicia, all the way. And you've been faithful and you've been patient. And again, that's an encouragement to all of us. Amen. If you're praying for prayers that haven't been answered yet, keep praying. Keep standing. Keep believing. God is working and moving. You just may not see it yet. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap? That's just a beautiful story. All right, next up is our friend Ryan Smith. Give it up for Ryan. He's got a really neat testimony about some work relationships. So tell us about how God's been challenging you.
All right. Good morning, Rockside. Today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Amen. Okay. So, yeah, what I wanted to share today, and I had to share, is the work that the Holy Spirit has been doing in me and the outflowing of what that looks like in my life around me. The Holy Spirit is working, and God is working every single day in all of us. And if we are obedient in what we do personally, that has an effect and overflows into everything around us. So, I'll try and be quick and get through everything, but I have every morning kind of a routine that I go through with my devotional, with prayer, and I'm a very regimented person, so I like doing things a certain way. But what I've been learning is God can change those things at any time. And so I had a morning where I was a little bit late, things were a little disheveled, and my routine didn't go exactly how I wanted. My flesh was like, oh, here you go, Ryan, you're out of your routine. But what actually happened was God reworked some things and had me in some different places than I normally would be. And one of the devotionals that I ended up at was him talking about specifically knowing who God is, how good he is, and being able to share the good news with other people and being able to let somebody else know who needs to know that God is good, that he is good. And so at the end of the devotional, there was a challenge that said, today you're to find somebody or let somebody know the good news that is going on. And so I'm like, oh, okay, God, who is it? Who do you have for me? Who do you want me to talk to today? And so that morning as I'm in the bathroom, he put somebody on my heart. And it's interesting because this was somebody I work with. They're no longer with me, but I worked with this person for 3 to 4 years, so I know him pretty well. This person in particular, without going into details, is living an alternative lifestyle. This person has tried everything from crystals to all kinds of weird stuff and is just really lost. And the Lord put this person on my heart, and I'm like, ooh, okay. You know, when you work with people, sometimes it's a little more personal when you have these things because they know you, and I don't know how they're going to respond. So in my heart, I'm like, it's a tough one, God. I know you're asking me to do this, and I know I need to be obedient, but okay. You know, and I put it off initially as I'm at work, so you get caught up doing things, and it just wouldn't go away. And the enemy likes to, if you let things linger, start talking you out of doing things. And so I felt, all right, here we go. And so he just brought back to me, be like a child. When my kids and children hear things, they just do it. They just respond. So at one point in the day, I'm about to get ready for another thing. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to shoot the text out because, God, you said it. So I went ahead. I said, I don't know why, but the Lord put you on my heart today. And I wanted to let you know I'm praying for you today. And I'm like, okay, God, there it is. So I get a response back. He must know what he's doing, because today my partner moved out and will be gone for a month, and it's very difficult for me. So thank you. And I responded back, yeah, well, you have a friend who will be lifting you up. And normally with this person, you get one text, and that's it. You don't get no response. Came back, thank you so much. And I was able to respond back, because the important thing wasn't what I was saying, but it was that God was the one who was directing it. So I just sent back a message, God loves you, and whatever. But it was amazing, because again, all of my expectations are like, this is going to turn out horrible. I already know this person. This is not going to be a good situation. But it was confirmation to me that when you follow what the Holy Spirit does in all aspects, starting at home, moving to my job, speaking to somebody who on a specific day had a need and needed somebody to lift them up, God was doing it. And it had really nothing to do with me. I just got to be the vehicle and the tool to be used. So I would encourage everybody here, if you get, we used to call it the nudge from the Holy Spirit, listen to it. Obey right away. Don't let the enemy talk you out of it, because your life can impact others around you. It is supposed to impact those around you, your community. So I just had to testify. God did that through me, and it was just a blessing to be used by him in that way. So, amen.
Thank you, Ryan. What a good reminder, too. The Holy Spirit is constantly nudging us and asking us to step out. Are we listening? Right? I love how you said that. As little children, don't get in your head. Just do it. Right? Walk in faith and just let the Lord use you when you get those nudges to speak or to call or whatever that looks like. The world is waiting for hope, and we are the hope dealers. All right? So that was so good. Thank you, Ryan, for sharing. All right, next up, Keisha Rosado. Come on up and tell us some good things that God is doing in your life. It's pretty awesome. So, all right.
Hello, church. So, yeah, God has been doing a lot, but I just wanted to share this quick little story, and I got permission from my friend. But me and my friend Teresa, she's in kids or nursery, we go boxing together. And we have a mutual friend there, and we had on our hearts for a long time to talk to her, to be able to just spend time with her. Like, she was going through things, and we wanted to spend time with her. And we had attempted to, we had that nudge, and we had attempted to on a Sunday breakfast, but other people joined and all that stuff, and it was like, oh man, no. So sometimes you have to pursue that nudge. You have a nudge, and you have to pray, God, open an opportunity. God, open an opportunity so I can go and minister to this person. So then we had been praying, and then one day my friend texts me, and she's like, hey, are you doing anything tonight? And I was like, my schedule's open now. I was like, doesn't matter if I'm busy. Because sometimes you have to make time for people, and it's hard, but because we're so busy. But sometimes you really need to. If God has also placed that, like, obey it. God will bless it. So I called Teresa, and we were like, all right, let's go. We're going to her house. We got pizza, all that stuff. We got to her house, and they started a bonfire. And we were there, and she gave me her phone so I could put music on. So I wanted to be respectful, and I put country music on, because why not? There's a fire, country music. I left her phone. I put it away. It was there. And I lowered the music, though, so we could talk. And we started talking, and she started sharing just about everything that was weighing her down and all of the things that she was going through, her marriage, all of these things, tough situations. And then we're able to minister to her. God opened the opportunity. We're ministering to her. God is speaking, all of these things. And she accepted Jesus Christ. And not only that, like, it's awesome. That's a huge thing in itself. She accepted Jesus. And then I have this nudge of sharing with her the Bible verse that talked about the sparrows in the Bible and how God, like, takes care of them. So how much more will he take care of her? So I was sharing that. And as I'm sharing that, I start listening to a song that I know that it's called Sparrows. And I'm like, I think it's my phone. It's not my phone. It's playing from the speakers. And I'm like, okay. I look at Teresa, I'm like, did you put do you know that song? She said, no. I look at my friend, do you know that song? No. And when we check on the phone, it was a country music playlist. She has never played a Christian song in her phone ever. And that song was in the queue. And it was talking about how God takes care of them and how if he can hold the world, he can hold tomorrow. He can hold you. And we got goosebumps. And she was saying, God is here. God is here. And I was like, yeah, God is here. So just an awesome experience, honestly. And you see God do that, but then he does it again and you're just as surprised. You're like, wow, that's crazy. So just an encouragement. Like, God can use anybody. Absolutely any of us. So if you have that nudge, or if there's someone in your heart that you've been praying for and that you know that you could be there for them, ask God to open opportunities. He will do that. You don't have to pray. God, open an opportunity. Let me follow that nudge. Because there are people that are needing to hear. There are people that need time just to listen. And as soon as you listen, there's an opportunity to share Jesus with them. So just be faithful to that nudge that Ryan was saying. So yeah.
Thank you so much. I mean, I don't know if we realize like how significant. I mean, they were obedient. They brought food as their friend was sharing and opening her heart. She received Jesus, which they've been connecting and praying. This has been a process. It's not just the first time that they had reached out to her. Do you see that? Like, God is calling each of us to evangelize, to reach those in our world. And you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have all the answers. Your life doesn't have to be all figured out. If you know Jesus even a little bit, he's asking us then to reach out to others and to walk with them to salvation. Amen. That's so encouraging. And then how cool. I mean, God does that stuff for new believers often. He'll do those like crazy, play a song that wasn't even around and connected and just what you're talking about. That's just, there's no other explanation than God is speaking directly to her in that moment. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord another hand clap. That's awesome. All right, next up is our Alondra. Come on up. Alondra. All right, this is awesome. I'm so proud of you, first of all, for doing this. I know it's a big deal. So tell us a little bit just about what God's doing and how that can encourage some other people.
This Sunday, I just wanted to say a word of encouragement that God's timing is always the right time. And even though you look to your left and your right and you see blessings going on over here and over there, it doesn't mean that that God's blessing is not for you either, and that there's enough blessings to go around and that you shouldn't be discouraged just because you see little Susie over there is having a good time and Jeffrey is having a good time too. But that, you know, your good time will come, and the Lord always knows when you need it most. And even though you might not know, I think trusting in the Lord is really a big thing for me right now. So.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, so much. So proud of you. Thank you. That's difficult. If you're not used to coming up here speaking in front of groups, that's a big deal. So thank you for sharing that, and that's a good encouragement for us. All right, next up is Arabella Wyatt. Give a hand clap for our friend Arabella.
Hi, guys. I just kind of wanted to share a little bit of like what God has recently done in my life, which is really cool, but also just take a quick short trip back to about 5 years ago to now, because God has done some pretty significant things, and he's still continuing to move and do big things in my life. So really quick backstory. A lot of you know, not a lot, maybe that we have new faces, but from when I was a child all the way through like my teen years and through adulthood, I've dealt with really, really bad, like crippling anxiety, to the point where like I wasn't going out of my house. I secluded myself and I sat in an anxiety comfort zone, which you don't think anxiety is comfortable, but once you sit there, it's kind of hard to leave that spot. And so for like the longest time, I just let anxiety control my life until that comfort zone was no longer comfortable. Like you can't sit there forever. And so back in late 2019, early 2020, I was going through the absolute worst like depression ever. Like I was stuck at the bottom of a pit, like literally, like I felt like I couldn't move from there. And I was like crying out to God during that time. And I remember like through beginning of 2020, I started journaling all this stuff. And recently I came across the journal and I was reading through and I'm like, I wrote stuff in here that I do not remember writing. And one of the things was this really long note and it was a letter to God. And in it, I was literally crying like, God, why am I going through this? And as I read throughout it, three separate times I wrote in there, Jesus, set me free. I could not handle this any longer. And going a little forward, he did. He set me free. And just like looking back on all the hard stuff I went through, like none of it went to waste because God, even though I knew Jesus my whole life, he used that to draw me closer to him. And it didn't. My hard times and struggles weren't wasted. And so I just continued to obey him. And when I stepped out in faith and started to get involved here at Rockside, like things started shifting. I started obeying what he was calling me to, which was really hard. It's easier said than done. But continuing to be faithful, he was continuing to be faithful to me. And yeah, he just continued to move in my life. And then recently, one of the awesome things he did was for a while, I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when I was young, I was completely misinformed on what that was and what speaking in tongues was. And because I was misinformed, I'm like, I'm scared of that. I don't want that. That freaks me out. Until more recently, I learned kind of more about what it actually was and how it empowers us and emboldens us for further ministry. And so I was seeking it and seeking it. And for a while, I never received it, but I kept praying. I had people pray over me. And even though I didn't receive it right away when I wanted, I never gave up seeking. And fast forward from that point to a couple weeks ago when Ty Buckingham was here, I'm like, okay, this is the time. I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I was sitting in the back. I was on media. And I'm like, Lord, I want to receive it right here. I do not want to have to go up to the front, but if I have to, I will. And I'm like, why did I just pray that? Because now I'm going to have to go up to the front and everyone's going to look at me. And I'm like, no, I'm not going through a repeat of what I did when I had anxiety in the past and I let it control me to the point where I wasn't stepping forward. And when I took that step of faith and I came to the front, I got prayed over. Pastor Michelle prayed over me. Elaine prayed over me. And during that time, I just felt like this welling up inside me and it just started coming out and I spoke in tongues for the first time. And that was awesome, you know, what I was seeking. And I'm continuing to just walk in that and not just let it happen one time. Like, okay, I got what I wanted. I'm done. Just continue to go in that. And so one of the other reasons why I brought up my 5-year journey from 5 years ago to now is because it is actually my Rockside 5-year anniversary this weekend. So I have been here. This testimony was like perfectly timed to give because it has been 5 years. The end of June 2020 is when I regularly started attending. So, yeah. I'm just excited. God's continuing to be faithful all throughout, and I'm still growing. So just encouragement to everyone, keep seeking, keep moving, obey what he's saying. He is faithful, even through the hardest of times. Your hard times are not a waste. He will use those for his glory and to help you grow closer to him and to help others. So.
Thank you. Wow. And that doesn't matter your age, right? Wherever you're at in life, if you're stuck, or if you're dealing with burdens that are keeping you hindered, you don't have to live like that, right? The Lord can create breakthrough in your life and healing, and you can begin to live a different life. Like, it's so incredible. I remember, you know, when she first started coming around, very quiet, to even get on a stage would have been terrifying, let alone now leading worship, praying, sharing testimony. I mean, the fact of what God has busted her out in is just incredible. God can do the same for you too. Amen? Isn't that incredible? So thankful. All right, and our last and final testimony is Matt Allen, if you'd come on up. Woohoo! Yeah, it's really cool. Before you share, Matt, he went and served as a counselor to our youth camp this past week. You guys heard last week from our teens and what God has done in their life. But here's a young man who got, you know, gave up a week of work to go and give to these students. And when you do that, you think, okay, that's awesome. I'm going to get to do this. But then God does a lot in your life. So just share about the experience and anything else that's on your heart.
All right. So, yeah, like she said, I went to camp. Got a tan. So going there, you know, I had a little bit of doubt of what was going to happen. I was kind of terrified, didn't know what to expect. And let me just tell you, God wiped away every single doubt I had. Going there that first night, I've never seen kids so hungry for God. And like when I was younger, camp was about, you know, girls and all this other stuff. But like, no, I just saw these young men, young women just seeking God. And it was cool that Tuesday night, I had one of these kids. We were up there, you know, for prayer and stuff like that. And he just bum rushed me with a big old hug because he just needed a hug. And getting to know his story and stuff like that, he was telling me, you know, he struggles with things like the Holy Spirit because he grew up Lutheran. His parents don't believe it. And that he has huge doubt for it. So prayed over that for him and stuff like that. And the next night, of course, it's, you know, come up, receive the Holy Spirit night. And this kid comes up to me and, you know, I'm telling him my testimony of like, okay, this is what happened to me and stuff like that. Let's pray together. And we're sitting there and praying over him and stuff like that. And he's praying and praying and praying. And then all of a sudden it just comes out. And it's just so cool to see that God, you know, me and this kid have the same, like, he just knows what he's doing. And this kid comes up to me and just, it's just awesome. So I just want to encourage you, like, your testimony is probably one of the strongest tools that you have to witnessing to people. And God knows what he's doing. He's going to bring those people who have those same type of thoughts, same type of struggles you're dealing with to testify about Jesus to them. So yeah, it was just an awesome experience, and I feel like a poster boy for camp now, so sign up for camp next year, all right? So praise God. Love you guys.
I love it. Thanks so much, Matt. And again, it's a big deal to give of your time and your talent, your resources. I mean, that it is a sacrifice for those that go as the team and the leads, and whether it's our pastoral team or volunteers, we appreciate everybody that does that because those students' lives are getting impacted greatly, not just during that week, but it just compounds year after year after year what God's doing in their calling and their destinies. And we're so thankful for the next generation. Amen, church? All right. Well, the last thing I want to share with you is just a little something from my life, and then we're going to take communion and pray, and we'll be done today. Have you enjoyed being here in God's presence so far today? So much, right? Hearing from these testimonies, hearing what God is doing. And listen, there are so many more we could have shared today because many of you have things that God is doing and has been doing that you could have stood up here and shared, all right? So I want to say this. In August, we'll have another celebration service. We always have them on the fifth Sundays. The kids join us, all right? And we celebrate what God is doing. And in those times, if you have a testimony, if you have something that you would like to share, just email our office and we can get in contact with you and we can share that because we want to share the good things that God is doing, amen? Because it encourages others, it builds faith. It lets other people know that you're not alone, man. You're going through it too. Me too. And this is what God has done. So it's just beautiful. Well, my husband and I were, last week we were on vacation and we were grateful to be able to go to Florida. For those of you that know anything about me, you know the beach is my happy place. My part of heaven will look very much like where we were this last week. A whole lot of Caribbean blue water and sand and the presence of the Lord. And last year, I had some huge breakthrough in my life, and some of this, it might be a little interesting. You get a little view into your pastor's life, but up until last year, I was deathly afraid of sharks. Now, here's the thing. I had this love-hate relationship because I've watched Shark Week from the time I was little. I love sharks. I think they're amazing, but they terrify me, right? I like to watch them from the screen, not like in their world, right? So I have always been the person that as much as I love the ocean and love the beach, I've only ever gone in to really about my knees. I mean, and that's really, even at that point, I'm like a nervous wreck looking for the fins. I mean, it wasn't like I was enjoying. I'm there with my friends or my family and I'm like, they're having a great time and I'm just like, you know, scanning for jaws. Now, I know that seems crazy and maybe silly, but I don't think I realized how big of a deal it had gotten a hold of my life. It wasn't even just really about the practical part of the water, but I think it was just really about the fear that I had allowed take over me. And last year, for whatever reason, the Lord had been dealing with me with some other things that he was doing in my life and had some other breakthrough moments. But last year, that stuff broke off. And for the first time, I remember last year being, we were at Treasure Island at the time, and I was in the ocean up to my shoulders, just floating, enjoying God's presence, free, all the things. So I say all that to say, that may seem small to you, but to me that was massive, because what I realized is I had been missing out on so much because of the fear, because of what hindered me. Does that make sense? For you, it might be something else, right? That's hindering you. It's keeping you from enjoying what God has for us in this world, right? For me, it was sharks. So this year, we go back, right? And so we're in the ocean. So I got freedom, right? So I'm in the water. I'm enjoying the warmth and splashing around and getting my toes grounded in the sand, right? Just for me, it's just such a great connection to God. I feel so close to him in the ocean. And there's a phrase that's been really connecting with me lately, probably the last year. And it's a song, and you guys know it well. It's called "It Is Well With My Soul." This past year plus, many of you, like myself, we've walked through a lot of grief. We've lost loved ones. We've lost people from this church. Dealt with a lot of death, a lot of loss. We've dealt with a lot of cancer, a lot of sickness. It's been a tough year plus in that space. And so that song and that phrase has just been in my soul. It is well with my soul. Because realistically, it's not always well out here, right? A lot of times it's real hard out here, but with Jesus and with his presence, it can be well with my soul no matter what. And so here I am. I find myself in the water, and I just get the sense to, like, lay down and float, all right? So again, you understand the backstory, right? Yeah, I've had breakthrough, but even in my breakthrough, I'm still alert. I'm still watching the waterline, right? And so in this moment, I lay down, and I'm floating, and I do it real quick the first couple of times because I'm like, you know, I get back up and just make sure I'm good. But then after a couple times of laying down, floating, I just get this sense, this peace come over me. And it was this beautiful gift that the Lord gave me of the experience of it is well with my soul. Because as I floated on top of that ocean water, no fear, total peace, completely surrendered, completely trusting, right? And there was this deep, just the presence of the Lord saying, this is what it feels like. It is well with your soul. And I tell you that as an encouragement because the Lord knows exactly where you are today. He knows exactly what you need to hear. He knows exactly what you need to experience. God is speaking to us all the time. And that was such a beautiful love gift to me to be able to not just know. Okay, I know what the song, how the song goes. I know the backstory of the guy that wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. It's one thing to know facts, but it's another thing to experience the truth of the reality, right? The truth of the song. What does it really mean, it is well with my soul? It's to be totally surrendered. It's to trust. It's to know that God has got you regardless of what's going on around you. In that moment, I wasn't concerned about anything in the ocean. The sun was beating on my face. I was feeling the waves, and I was floating on top in complete surrender. Isn't that just beautiful? So today, I just want to encourage you. God sees you. He knows where you are. He knows what you need. Are you open to that? Are you open to breakthrough? Because I will tell you, church, we are at a place in our lives where we cannot stay stuck, right? Arabelle, you said it. We can't stay in that comfort zone space. And that looks different for all of us. God is calling us by his power and his presence to bust out of those things that are chaining us, that are binding us, that are keeping us down, right? And that's just as a church as a whole, but it's going to be individual, right? There's things that God wants to free you of, break off of your life, heal you of, forgive you of, so that you no longer carry that around, right? So I know it's a visual for me, the ocean, but for me to be able to run right in that water and not have any care, God wants that for you guys. It just looks different, and it's a different area. Amen? So church, as we headed to the summer, we head into the fall, as a leadership, we're praying. We've been praying for more breakthrough, for more healing, for more miracles in all of our lives. Not so that we can be like, oh, yay, look what God's done in my life, but so that we can say, to God be the glory, great things he has done and great things he's still going to do for you and for you and for our neighbors and for our coworkers, for our families. Amen? So if we can do this, let's give the Lord one last hand clap for all the testimonies today, for all that he has done. And we're going to close out our time together today with giving thanks. We're going to give thanks to the Lord, and we're going to do that through communion. Amen? I don't know if you know, but communion is about being grateful. It's about not only just remembering, right? Obviously, Jesus said to remember, but it's about being grateful for what Christ has done, what he did on the cross. He died on the cross for our sins so that we can not only be saved and go to heaven, but that we can be healed, that we can be whole, that we can have freedom in this world. That's what communion represents. These are elements. These are symbols of his blood, symbols of his body. You guys, we've heard the scriptures before. We understand what happened. Jesus died on the cross. His body was beaten beyond recognition, scripture said. Can you think of that for right now? Think of Jesus's body that was broken for you, beaten for you, for your sin. He did that out of love. He chose that because he loves us. He freely gave so that we might have forgiveness of sin. His blood was spilled out so that we can have healing. The scripture says, by his stripes, we are healed. And so as we prepare our hearts in this moment, as we close the service, and as we prepare our hearts to take communion, I want you just to close your eyes. Scripture also talks about making sure that our hearts are good with the Lord, making sure that there's nothing in between you and God in this moment. So let's take a few moments and just reflect. Ask the Lord, is there any offensive way in you, anything that you need to ask forgiveness of between you and the Lord? So let's just take a moment.